Well, this is the final week of our 40 days of purpose, and I think a very important part of our celebration is to know that we're not finished. Amen. We haven't really finished anything yet. We've just begun. God has some big plans for this church. Amen. I know He does, and I know the leadership of this house is really seeking God at this point to move forward in the Spirit and to do what God really is leading and guiding us to do. Much has been accomplished, and there's a lot more yet to be accomplished. But for the past 6 weeks, we've been engaged in finding our purpose. And as a result, I think a lot of people have a clearer understanding of what God's purpose in your life is. Anybody have a better understanding of God's purpose for your life? Just shout it out. Amen. 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 We found that we were planned for God's purpose, formed for God's family, created to become like Christ, shaped for His service, and made for a mission. So we're no longer ignorant of God's plan for our life. We know what to do. But knowing what to do is not quite enough, because if I know what to do and don't do it, I'm worse off. I'm worse off than I was 40 days ago, because I now have some degree of understanding of what my purpose in life is, and to know my purpose and then fail to get involved in carrying out that purpose would not be good. So I want to help you this morning. I want to motivate you. And I know that the highest motivation should be our love for God and for others. However, the Apostle Paul sometimes uses other truth, other than the motivation that comes through love of God. He uses some other things to motivate people to fulfill the purpose for which God created them. And I want to share a truth in the Word of God this morning that you've probably not heard talked about very much. I have to confess, I have not talked about it a great deal, because sometimes I think we preachers sort of skirt certain issues because we don't want to bring up things that might cause someone to feel a bit insecure in the relationship with the Lord. That's not my purpose this morning, to make anyone feel insecure. I want to show you some things that will help you to feel even more secure and more valuable in the kingdom of God maybe than you've ever thought you were. And then I have another motivation. One of the reasons why I want to share this message with you is because I do not want to stand with you at the judgment seat of Christ and have you say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me these things? I could have, if I had known how important these matters were, I would have done a lot more than I did." Yes, I want to talk to you this morning about the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to tell you that Christians will also be judged. Not just the unsaved people, but not just those that have done nothing right. Those people are going to be judged, but not at the judgment I'm talking about. There are two judgments here. One is called the judgment seat of Christ. The other is called the great white throne judgment. Christians will not stand in that judgment at all. But every one of us who are children of God today, every one of us will stand before God, for the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's talking to Christians. When Paul said that, he was talking to Christians. I'll get to those scriptures in just a moment. By nature, God is both holy and just, and he cannot act contrary to who he is in his person. God cannot act contrary to the fact that he is love and he is righteous. He must act according to his nature and his character. And because of this, we know that everyone is going to be judged. We know that the judgment of God, the scripture says, is according to truth against those who practice such things. And if you want to know what kind of things we're talking about, it is first chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 25. In the first chapter of Romans, verse 25, here we're talking about the unchristian ones that are going to be judged, who Paul says have exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. In other words, they developed their own religious system, made their own doctrine, established their own gods. And because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. The due penalty, which implies a judgment, and that they received exactly what they deserved. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Do you desire the riches of His goodness, despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with the hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greeks. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then he says, there is no partiality with God. There is no partiality with God. God is going to judge every one of us. Every person that is a child of God will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to determine whether or not they're going to get to heaven. That's not going to be the basis of that judgment. The basis of that judgment is going to see what reward each one of us deserve to receive. Oh no, everyone. I don't care if you come in at the last hour. If you come in at the 11th hour, everyone is going to get a penny. You see, a lot of people have read that parable of Jesus where he went out at the first hour and hired some people and made a deal with them that they would work for a penny all day long. And then he went out at a little later in the day And then a little later in the day and hired people. And even in the 11th hour, he went out and hired people to come in. And when it was time to pay, they all received a penny. And some people interpret that to mean that that means we all get the same, whether we worked long, whether we bore the heat of the day, whether we did anything much at all. That means every one of us are going to have the same reward. That's not what Jesus was teaching there. What he was teaching there is that every one of us are going to receive eternal life. We're going to whether you come in at the 11th hour or whether you started at the first hour, every one of you is going to get the penny of eternal life. Hallelujah. And it has nothing to do with works. It has nothing to do with how long you work for the Lord. But there are those that got saved at the very last moment of their life. Amen. Never had any works whatsoever. Nothing. They simply opened their heart and Jesus came in and they received the penny of eternal life. But what about the judgment seat of Christ? What are they going to receive at that point? When they there are rewarded according to their works. What's going to happen then? What are they going to have at that moment? Listen, I believe that the rewards are going to be great. The Greek word that is used to describe this judgment is the word bema, and it basically means a law tribunal where defendant and accuser stand before or in front of a magistrate in court. But the second meaning, drawn from classical Greek usage of the word, is the word bema. And you may have heard the term bema judgment. It is an evaluation stand for athletes. The athletes in Greek and Roman games pass before judges reviewing stand in order to win the rewards appropriate to how well they had run the race. The athletes' reward ceremony. That aspect of the judgment seat of Christ is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, where the scripture says, "Do you know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Well, Paul says, "I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pummel my body and subdue it." Why? "In order that after I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified." Remember, I'm not talking about being lost, because we are saved by the mercy and grace of God. We receive an entrance into heaven. But there are going to be many people who stand in judgment on that day and will not have a reward because they were not doing what the Lord told them to do. The notion of a legal tribunal is also implied in some passages in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. These are very sobering words for Christians. According, he says here, beginning with verse 10, "According to the commission of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man, each person, take care about how he builds upon this foundation that has been laid. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on the foundation, each of us is building with one of the following materials: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Each man's work will become manifest, that is, openly visible, for the day of the Lord, the judgment day, will disclose or reveal it. because it will be revealed or unveiled with fire, and the fire will test what sort of works each of us has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, listen to this, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. Any man's work who is burned up, that person will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but by fire. Sure quiet in here this morning. This is not really a very inspiring message. That's not what it's meant to be. It's meant to be, listen, we now know what to do. And there's a great reward for doing it. And there's a great loss if you don't do it. What is the loss? I don't know for sure what that is. I don't have a good, clear understanding of what it is we lose. I know it's not our eternal life. I know it's not that. But there must be something in the hereafter that will reveal the way a person has manifested or has expressed their faith. There must be something out there. Amen. That shows what a person did in this world by the reward, by the honor they received in that day when we stand before God. Let me tell you what I think the greatest honor would be. The greatest honor that could ever be bestowed upon any human being would be the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. That will be the greatest reward that anyone could possibly receive. But the Lord will not be able to say that to everyone. The Lord will not be able to say that to every person. Now let's see who he's going to say it to. He is going to say that to those who have done well. Those who have built with silver and gold and precious stones. They're the ones that are going to hear, "Well done." The ones that have been faithful. Faithful to the Lord in their service. Faithful to do the things they have the ability to do. I'll never forget a story. A brother Brummett, I believe it was pastoring in Oklahoma City. And he'd had a tremendous time of real... It just took a lot of grace to do what he had done. And he was worn out. He and his wife took a trip over into the mountains of Arkansas, down around Jasper, Arkansas. As they were driving along in the car, Brother Brummett looked out and he saw a man plowing on one of those steep hillsides with a horse and a plow. And he said to his wife, "You know," he said, "honey, sometimes that's just the way I feel. I just like to come over here to Arkansas and get a little piece of ground and get me an old mule and a Georgia stock plow and just start plowing this hillside." She didn't respond for a few moments, and then she said, "Well, I guess if that's all you're capable of doing, that's all God would require of you." You see, most of us are capable of doing a lot more than we do. We're capable of getting into a ministry that will make a difference. We're capable of going to the streets. We are capable of ministering to the sick. Amen. By simply visiting them, we are capable of doing all. Look out there, 25 ministries out there, 25 or 26 ministries. There probably is not one of those ministries that you could be involved in that you are not capable of doing. And if you are not capable, see me. Because that's the business of leadership, is to equip people to be capable of doing the work of the ministry. That's our job. That's what we do. And I think you've heard a lot of good preaching. You've heard a lot of good teaching. You have the ability. And then I'm reminded of what James said. Anyone who knows to do good and doesn't do it, he said, that's sin. That's sin. Amen. You're not liking this any better than you did. What I'm trying to do is motivate you. I'm trying to motivate you to do what you have the ability to do. Amen. Not always just what you want to do, but what you have the ability to do. Look at those 25 ministries out there after this is over. And I'll have to get it over pretty quick now. Look out there and see. Sign your name on the line. With the intent, I want to be a part of this ministry. And I'm going to be faithful to do it. You could just start out by coming to church on Wednesday night. You could start out by coming to church on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night. I haven't seen a sign which says you're excused. Hallelujah. We have services here. You could do a lot of things. We have early morning prayer every day, except Saturday and Sunday. Oh, there's a lot of things you can get involved in. Because we're going to stand in the judgment one day. We must all appear there. And we're going to receive a reward not for the things we intended to do. Amen. There is no reward for good intentions. Go like this way. There is no reward for future plans, unless those plans are implemented, unless we get them into action. There's no plan, there's no reward for planning to go to the ladies' Bible study. But I said, well, that's going to cost me money. Not enough, but it'll cost you money. Listen, I could try to make this funny if I wanted to, but I'm not really trying to make it funny. That's going to be a serious day when we stand in the presence of God. There's nothing funny about that, I promise you. That's not going to be funny when we stand in the presence of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to be funny. It's going to be serious. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be serious. It's going to be serious. But oh, listen. Is there anyone here who can't do more than you're doing? Anyone at all? Anybody want to lift your hand on that? I can't do any more than I'm doing. I'm totally loaded right now. Got everything I can do for the Lord, I'm doing for Him right now. Boy, I didn't see a hand. Not one. How many could say, Pastor, I could do a whole lot more. I could do a whole lot more. Well, that's wonderful, but what you did just then, you said, God, I'm not doing all I could do. And you know what He'll do? He'll forgive you for not doing it, but you lost your reward. Amen. He'll forgive. He'll forgive. I don't care what kind of sin you commit as a Christian. He'll forgive you if you ask Him, but there's no reward for doing it. Amen. There's no reward for asking His forgiveness. That doesn't come with reward. Anybody can do that. You see, what He wants is us to do what we have the power to do. I'm finished. I'm really not. I'm not finished. I could, like Glenda, I could do this probably a good part of the day. But I think you maybe have had a dose that's big enough that it may give some of you the colic. Amen. I hope not. Oh, saints, I do love you. I hope you know that. I don't intend to all... Lest I do. I promise you, I do love you. I love you enough that I must speak the truth in love. There's no accusation going out here. No fist that is being shaken in the air. You're loved. God loves you enough that He's going to tell you. He's going to find somebody that'll shake us a little bit and stir our hearts. Amen. So we can become all God wants us to be. No, I'm not going to always be your pastor. I'm an old man. I know that. And I know we're praying right now. We're praying about who is to lead this church on. I'm talking about eldership. Join us. Join us. I don't mean by that I'm fixing to leave next week or next month or even next year. I don't know when I'm going. Do you? Some people are saying right now, I wish you was already gone after this. Amen. But I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here because I believe it's God's will for me to be here. But I don't want to be the... Hallelujah. I don't want to be the pastor or the directive leader of this church forever. God has a younger person to do that. I know that. I know that. And I'll be glad for that day. But that don't mean I'm going to love you any less. That don't mean I'm not going to be here to pray and believe God with you and see this church become all that it has the potential to be. It'll never be as long as we just sit, soak, and sour. Amen. It's not going to be what it can be till every one of us get hold of our responsibility and say, I'm going to work. Hallelujah. I'm going to get in here. I'm going to do it. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm saying right here, the Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. And you'll have the greatest peace when you go out there and look at those different ministries and get involved. Turn to somebody and say, get involved. Get involved. Hallelujah. God bless your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.